Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Sunday, and that means it's time for our Zen stream. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, everyone, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. This podcast presents a psychotherapist and Zen Buddhist perspective on the mind and how it manifests your moment-to-moment reality. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you master your reality, master your life through mastery of your mind. If that's something that interests you, you've definitely come to the right place. Now, we have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism. We have our Zen stream on Sundays. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode here and there on a topic related to, you know, maybe mental health, psychotherapy. That is my background. I've been a psychotherapist for about 16 years now. Or we talk about manifesting, a law of attraction type topic. So you'll find all sorts of stuff related to that here on the podcast. But for today, it is Sunday and we are doing our Zen stream. And for the Zen stream, I've been reading from this really great book by a pretty well-known Vietnamese Zen master, monk. His name is Thich Nhat Hanh. You may have heard of him. And he wrote this book called Your True Home. And it is a collection of really short kind of meditations, things to kind of ponder and think about. Some of them have just been amazing. I mean, all of them are good, but some of them have just been really, really great. It really resonated with what I've read here. And I found one today that I really, really like, and I want to connect it to something that I spoke to. Basically, there is a, as I've mentioned here before, where I live, there is a Zen school about 20, 25 minutes from my house, which is amazing. And I do, when I practice, you know, with others, that's where I go. And yesterday I went and I had a good conversation with a Zen teacher there. And it connects to this reading. And I think it connects to a topic that I think is nice to talk about. So let me go ahead and read this to you first. And then I'll talk to you a little bit about my conversation with this Zen teacher yesterday. And hopefully we'll all get something good out of this this particular episode. So this is called Appreciating Simple Joys. And it goes like this. Please take the hand of your little boy or little girl and walk slowly to the park. You may be surprised to notice that while you are enjoying the sunshine, the trees, and the birds, your child feels a little bored. Young people today get bored easily. They are used to television, handheld video games, war toys, loud music, and other kinds of excitement. We adults, too, try to fill our loneliness with these kinds of things, and all of us suffer. We have to teach ourselves and our children how to appreciate the simple joys that are available. This may not be easy in our complex, distracted society, but it is essential for our own survival. Sitting on the grass with your little boy or girl, point out the tiny yellow and blue flowers that grow among the grasses and contemplate these miracles together. Peace education begins on this occasion. That's the end of the little meditation right there. So simple joys. And I want to tell you about this conversation I had yesterday, which I think relates to this pretty well, actually. And I had basically, you know, when I go to this temple, for those of you who've maybe never been to a Zen temple, and obviously I have not been to every Zen temple that is around in the world, but the ones that I have been to generally tend to function similarly, at least here in the U.S., you know, you go in, there's two or three periods of a silent meditation in a group. And there's usually a walking meditation, you know, to kind of stretch your legs a little bit. And then usually as these different sessions are going on, sitting, walking, there is a teacher who is in a separate small room. And you ring a bell usually, and you go in to talk to the teacher for a little bit. So this is the occasion yesterday when I was at the temple, and I went to talk with this teacher. And you know, there's different, I don't want to bore you with too many details, but there's different teachers. So there's teachers, there's, you know, Dharma teachers, and then there's Zen masters. It's sort of like, you know, where you are in your practice. So this particular person that I was meeting with was not a Zen master. It was just somebody who was there who had been practicing for a long time, who was kind of like, you know, just talking and answering questions. And he basically, you know, we chit-chatted a little bit, and he said to me, "So do you have any questions?" And I was kind of thinking a little bit about it, and I said, you know, I really like don't have a lot of burning questions, like, oh, why did this happen, or why did, you know, why do I have this in my life, or why. All of those kinds of questions, you know, I haven't had struggled with those kinds of questions for quite a while. But one question that does come up for me when I'm doing my own meditation pretty often, I'm going to say all the time, but pretty often, is, you know, what when I sit, right, and I'm focusing on my breath, and I'm counting my breaths, and I'm just, you know, watching my thoughts. And one thought that often arises is, why am I doing this, right? What is the purpose of what I am doing here? Not just in my practice, but as a human being, right? What is my, and I guess that's the nature of how the mind works, is that we tend to think of things in linear fashion. And I've talked about this a whole lot here on the podcast, where we have a goal in mind, right? And this is kind of how our minds organize life. It's like, well, I'm here, I want to get there. This is a goal that I want to achieve. And how do I do it? You know, what do I have to do? What are the steps that I have to take, right, to get from here, from point A to point B? That most things that we do in life tend to fall into that kind of pattern. Like, well, I want to get a promotion. Someday I want to retire. Oh, someday I want to take this trip. Or someday, you know, we all have goals, right? We all have things that we want to get to. And when you're sitting and you're not really, I mean, literally, you're doing absolutely nothing. I mean, literally, you begin to think like, what am I doing with my life? What is the purpose of this sitting? What is the purpose of being a human being? What is, and this is kind of the question, okay, that I asked the teacher. And so he pondered, you know, he was quiet for a moment or two, and he pondered it. And he said, you know, which maybe he says to everybody, he said, this is a very good question. And he said, you know, it often arises when you sit and you are simply watching your breath, you begin to look deeply. Okay, he said, you begin to look deeply and you begin to ask this kind of question, like, what is my purpose for being here? You know, what does it mean to be a human being? You know, what, it's funny because I remember this kind of like, it's a little humorous, really, it really is that there's kind of humorous ways of describing Zen that are actually, they are pretty funny. I know I've said that like three times now, but like there's funny koans, like, you know, what is the true nature of a cat, you know, and then you're supposed to meow, right? What is the true nature of a dog, and then you're supposed to bark, you know, like a dog. And that is the true nature, right? Whereas if you give a mental description of a dog or a cat, you can say, oh, well, it's a four-legged creature and it's got fur and it's, you know, it looks like this and it looks like that. But that's like the conceptual description, right? But when you actually experience a cat or a dog right in front of you, what do you experience? Well, you hear a meow, you hear a bark. That's the direct, or at least as close to direct experience of really being in the presence of that animal, right? So I say that to say this: if that's true, then what is the true nature of being human, right? What is our true nature? What is this that we are? What is this consciousness? And this is a question that is, I think, very central to a lot of Zen practice. I'm not going to say it's all of Zen practice, but it is really about penetrating deeply. And as it's said in this particular Zen school that I go to, is, you know, this question of what am I, right? What, you know, who is this I, or what is this I that is aware of this voice that speaks to me in my own thoughts. What is this consciousness? What is this, right? And you, and it's not really to find an answer. It's that's the type of questioning that helps us to peel away layers, right? And get more and more, I guess, connected to the true nature, right? And so this is what he was kind of explaining back to me. When you're sitting there and these questions arise, and then at the moment, right, all you're doing is breathing. At that moment, all you are is the breath, right? It's all you are is the breath. And when you are partaking in any activity, like in this book that I've been reading from, Your True Home, he has certain chapters where he talks about the meditation on eating an orange, or meditation on just brushing your teeth, right? Where you're doing only that thing. It's like mindfulness, right? We talk a lot about mindfulness. Mindfulness is making a big comeback now in the mental health field, how helpful it is. All these studies are showing how powerful it is and how it works on so many different kind of illnesses, anxiety, depression. And that's what we're really talking about, is we have this constant mental noise in our minds, right? And I've talked about this a lot, right? Mind projects to the future, reflects upon the past. It presents you anxieties, worries. And meanwhile, while the mind is doing that, typically what we're actually physically doing in the moment, in that exact moment, is probably pretty simple. Especially when you're meditating, all you're doing is breathing. That's it. You're just sitting there breathing. But what does mind make in that moment? That's what we want to pay attention to. It's endless, the things it could make, right? But just some examples: it might make anxiety, it might make worry, it might make future, it might make past, it might make, you know, some, you may be replaying a conversation you had in your head with somebody, or you may be planning for the next time you see someone what you're going to tell them, or you may be thinking about the money that you have to come up with, you know, next week or next month, or you may be thinking about somebody you're worried about. The mind is making all of these things, just making. But in reality, in that moment, the true absolute direct experience of that moment is just breathing. That's it. So simple. Just breathing. And after you're done breathing, maybe you go wash your hands. That's all you're doing. You're just washing your hands. Maybe you're going to make dinner for your family. You're just making dinner. It's so simple. And something amazing happens when you're able to actually really not just understand that conceptually, but really live it completely 100%, is that all that mental noise starts to subside, right? It may still be there, but it becomes so much quieter. It's almost as if, as I've shared it before, it's like a tremendous space opens around all of that noise. And so the noise is just a tiny aspect of your consciousness. So let me pause here for a quick second, allow a word from a sponsor. And I want to come back to this little meditation I read and share a couple more things with you. Just bear with me a moment. All right, you all, thank you for your patience. I am back. So as I was saying, I had this conversation with this Zen teacher yesterday, and it's topic came up, and he and I were discussing it, and he really reminded me in that moment of, you know, again, what I've just been talking about, how the mind is always trying to make stuff, and this is interesting, because you can, from a certain perspective, right, you can say, well, maybe that's our true nature, is that we are creators, right? We take what is, as I've shared here before, what is basically just particles around us, just simply molecules floating around in the universe, and through our five senses, and through our interpretation of that sensory information, our beliefs, our culture, our religion, our everything, all these things filters all this stuff and makes something out of it. We create an experience, and we string these experiences together, which creates this timeline, which we call our life. So, this is my life. This is me. This is who I am. So you could say, from a certain perspective, that maybe that's our nature. That is the nature of mind, to create, to make stuff. And that's not so horrible, right? That could actually be kind of an exciting endeavor. So you could say that. But I still would would add, okay, that even if you are in agreement with that approach, then what I would then ask is, if that is our nature to create, right? And what do we create with? Well, we create with, as I was just describing, our senses. We create with our beliefs. We create with our thoughts. We create with our emotions. We create through our culture. We create through our music. We create basically with our whole being, right? So what I would say that is important is that it is very, very fundamental to take very good care of that with which you create. So taking care of the mind that creates is very, very important, because the more you take care of it, the more you will be able to create more of what you want, okay, in your life, make more what you want to experience come true. And of course, that's what I believe I often talk about here on the podcast, is how, what practices that you can undertake, certain beliefs or ideas that you could take on and try in your own life, which I think will assist you in keeping the mind cleaner, keeping the mind healthier, taking time to really, I guess, kind of stop creating for a little bit, stop making, and take time to clean those utensils. Look at your own thoughts, look at your own beliefs, look at your own cultural upbringing, look at your own religious upbringing, look at your own, just basically taking time to really look at what we practically, conventionally call the self, right? Because that is ultimately what creates, right? So that is a good, I think, a good way to look at it. We could say that. The other thing that I think is part of this is, I think if you look at the way our mind, the pattern of how our mind operates, is one of the gifts we have as human beings, which as far as I think most studies or all studies really have shown, we are the only creatures alive on this planet that are capable of what is called reflective thinking, which is the ability to think about our own thoughts. We're able to objectify our own thoughts. So if you're having a thought, you know, it's very negative, you can suddenly stop and say, why am I thinking so negative, right? We all have that ability to be able to do that, to stop and look at our own thoughts. And this is very, very interesting, because what this shows is that our ability to reflect or to look back on ourselves is infinite in nature, if you think about it. I kind of, in my mind, picture it as like two mirrors facing each other, right? And when you look in one mirror, you could see the reflection of the other, and it goes on for eternity, right? You could see the mirror reflecting back and forth. Our consciousness is like this with our own thoughts. And this is very, to me, is very, very interesting, because it shows, as I said, that we have a sort of endless capacity mentally to become aware of more and more and more and more things. It's literally an infinite capacity to be able to do that. So in a sense, it is also, I think, for me, I would say it rings a little bit more true that the nature of our true self is to simply become aware, to become aware of more and more and more and more and more. It seems to be a trend that as we get older, we learn more, we reflect more on our lives, we gain some wisdom, and we become aware of a lot more things than we used to be aware of when we were younger. So this also seems to be part of our nature, is to increase our ability to observe and to become aware. And this, of course, helps us with the first possible that I described, the first possible possibility of our nature of being human, which is to create, right? Becoming more aware obviously is going to help you in your process of creating your life. So you can say that they complement one another. Now, we come back to this little chapter, right? And we come back to this conversation that I had with the Zen teacher yesterday, and you could make this all so much more simple. And you could say, you know what, maybe the gift of our consciousness and the gift of this life experience is something so much more simple. Maybe it's not so much about creating. Maybe it's not so much about becoming more and more aware. maybe it's simply about learning how to appreciate more and more of the little things that surround us all the time. Because if you think about it, you look at our five senses, right? And if you really, really, and this is something that's been really on my mind for some reason, few weeks, maybe a few months, is that when you really have no worry, no anxiety, you're not, you know, your mind is not projecting into the future or rehashing the past or all the stuff I've been talking about, creating anxiety, creating worry. You're not locked up in your head like he describes here in the book, right? In this little chapter, he says, children, they're used to television, handheld video games, war toys, loud music, other kinds of excitement. And he goes on to say, we adults too try to fill our loneliness with these kinds of things and all of us suffer. And then he goes on then in the next paragraph to talk about the flowers. And what it makes me think of, okay, what it makes me think of is that if you remove all that mental noise, right? You remove all that mental noise and you only pay attention to all of the sensory information that you could experience in any given moment, all of the smells, all of the sights, all of the sounds, all of the feelings on the skin, and you're really, really able to connect to that, right? You suddenly have so much more to appreciate. You know, for example, I'm sitting right here in my room. This is the little zendo we have in the house where we do our meditation. And we have two nice windows here. And I look outside and there's sunshine. There's a lot of sunshine. I see the trees swaying in the wind. You know, I see flowers right outside in front of the walkway that we have outside. I see a big, I forgot the name of this kind of tree right now. Purple queen, that's it. I have a big purple queen. Right in front of me. And, you know, I can feel, you know, the coolness inside of the air condition. I can, if I really, really, really focus on these little things, almost immediately, I can feel some gratitude rising up. I can feel some peace. I can feel some joy. It's almost like the antithesis of that thinking mind that's always projecting, planning, plotting, worrying, anxious. It's the exact opposite of it. And so another possibility of the true nature of this experience of being alive is to simply just appreciate the moment, appreciate each and every moment, and feel as much gratitude as possible in each and every moment. And again, if you're able to do that, I think it could also help with the other two possibilities, right? Which is the possibility that maybe we're here to create and the possibility that maybe that we're just here to become more and more aware. So I found it was a nice reading, and I think it's nice to be reminded, especially for me, to appreciate the simple joys. The teacher told me yesterday, just breathing, just being able to breathe is a tremendous thing to be grateful for. Just imagine if you couldn't breathe for a minute or two, how grateful you would be when you're able to take that first breath again. But we take it for granted all the time. And that's really the key thing, isn't it? Is that the things for which we should express the most gratitude are the things that we usually take for granted all the time. And that is part of what I think that ego mind does to us, always planning, plotting, scheming, looking to the future, or remembering the past. So take some time today and appreciate the simple things. I really want to thank you for listening. I hope you found this podcast episode helpful. And stay tuned. I'll be back on Tuesday with another installment of Tuesday Taoism. Remember, you could always reach out to me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com or find me on Twitter. Just look at on Dreams Warp. I am retweeting some good stuff on there. And once in a while, I do post some thoughts of my own to share with you all. All right, I'll talk to you in the next episode. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.